Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Holy Spirit, thank you. We acknowledge you in the room. We acknowledge you as the King. Father, we acknowledge your love. Jesus, your mercy and your grace. And Holy Spirit, your power. And we pray this morning, will you move us? Will you move us? Will you awaken faith inside of us? In Jesus' name, I pray that you will touch our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to perceive what it is that you are doing, Lord, in this season. Lord, I want to bless this house, God. Just all the testimonies I hear about this house and about this faith community. I just thank you for that, and I bless them. And I just sense like the Lord is saying, you have done so well. You have done so well. And what I see over you guys is just, there's a beauty in your diversity. And I'm reminded of like Fynbos, which is so biodiverse, and every plant has its place to bloom. And so this is fertile soil in which you can grow. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Thank you for what you have deposited in this house. Thank you for the way they steward it in Jesus' name. And I just bless that, Father God. I bless the words over this house in Jesus' name. Lord, I want to bless just that seed bank that is in each person, the seeds of prophecy that has been given, Father God. We just bless that seed bank, and I bless it to start growing in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for depositing greatness inside of us. Awaken us to your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Hey, I quickly want to, thank you very much. I quickly want to tag on just the elections going on or coming this Wednesday. I just felt in worship tag on the gentleman that spoke on it. And I just kind of felt to remind us to absolutely go and place your vote. It matters. Just remember that we are not part of a democracy. We are part of a kingdom. When you get saved into the kingdom of God. And we have a king, right? So just remember the kingdom. And remember this week not to misplace your faith in a political party, but place your faith in Jesus. A party coming into place will not save South Africa. We need Jesus. Amen. As do America. As do every other country in the world. We need Christ ultimately to save us, right? It is a good thing that in the upcoming weeks, I mean, you can just sense there's something in the air, like there's a spirit of fear almost in the air, and it is real. This past week, we have an eldest couple in our church. They were attacked in their home in Wellington, in probably the safest area in Wellington, bound for 4 hours, ransacked their home. Luckily, they didn't get hurt, but I remember when I heard that news, man, I felt mad inside of me, and I needed to process that a little bit with the Holy Spirit. Like, what am I mad about now? Am I mad about our country? What am I mad about here? And I really needed His help to get the spirit of fear to the side and get faith in, because when I look, like, I don't know about you guys, but it takes 2 minutes and 2 eyes to see there's something wrong in the world. Amen. But it does take the Spirit of God to see what God sees when He looks at our country. And my choice, I had to make a choice, and it was a difficult one, because I love these people, to partner with the Holy Spirit in this. So Lord, thank you that you protected them, that they didn't get hurt. Thank you that you have not forgotten South Africa, that you have a plan for South Africa. And thank you that a government party will not save us, Jesus, but we need you to save us. Right, okay, so keep the spirit of fear out and the Holy Spirit in. And it's easy. You can just ask, hey, Holy Spirit, what do you feel about the elections? How do you feel about it? You know, I've had difficult situations. I'm like, I feel super depressed and afraid about my situation. I'm like, Holy Spirit, how do you feel about it? I've come to know He feels a whole lot different than I feel about a certain situation. Amen? Gives a good opportunity to repent and turn your words. And that's probably the fourth one I'll say. Like, watch your words in this week. Watch your words. Okay, words are powerful. Like, and I'm telling you right now, there's a whole lot of people cursing our country right now. There's a whole lot of people saying what's wrong about our country. And we actually need the church to stand up and speak a different word, because the blood of Jesus speaks a different word. And we want that word over our country, and we want to partner with that word. Does that make sense? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, I think it's 20, says that we are ambassadors of Christ, and the Lord is making his appeal through us, right? Now, I remember going for my American visa. You go to the consulate, the embassy, right? Ambassadors, and they work and live in embassies, right? And I got to the American embassy in Cape Town, and there were South Africans treating me. It was South Africans kind of treating me like Americans. And it was weird to me. I'm like, wow, there's something. What are you guys? And I realized out of that, an embassy is sovereign in the fact that the American embassy isn't subject to the South African law. American law rules in the embassy right there, right? So the American embassy in Cape Town does not represent South Africa. It represents America. So an embassy doesn't represent the country it is in. It represents the country it is from. Okay? Now, as an ambassador, Jesus, the Lord, has an embassy in this world. It's called the church. The church isn't called to represent this world or the spirit of this world. We are called to represent the kingdom, right? And the king. And that is, so we should just be aware in this time not to get caught up in worldliness. But remember, we are ambassadors of Christ to represent Jesus. He has a plan for our country. Amen? And we want to get the spirit of fear out so we can get faith in, so that the kingdom may come in South Africa. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say about that. I've got nothing to say about the Blue Bulls. And then we're going to transition just to this morning's message. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to 2 Timothy 1. I'm going to read a short portion of scripture, and my heart this morning is to just to encourage you guys, and hopefully this will help you to grow what the Lord has placed inside of each of you. Now, this message, I'm just going to give you some context, comes from just a little bit of my journey out of Matthew, I think it's 25, where he speaks about the talents that is given and stewardship. And then the talents are given, and then the master goes away. And then the master comes back, and he asks account for what he has given, right? Now, Jesus came, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but Jesus is coming back. So we are in that in-between season where I'm just on this journey with the Lord, like, Lord, what have you placed inside of me, and how do I steward that well so that it will bring glory to your name, so that when you return, I can hear these words, well done, good and faithful servants. Okay, so I'm going to, it's out of that context that I'm going to read this portion of scripture where Paul writes to Timothy at the end of his life. He's about to be executed and die, and he's writing this to his spiritual son to encourage him. So it's out of the context of stewardship that I'm reading this. Okay. It's on the board as well, so you can follow along. He writes in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of self-control. Okay, now, firstly, there's three things going on. He reminds Timothy of his faith. He says to him to fan into flame the gift of God. And then he reminds him of the spirit that he received. Now, say for instance, this podium is the cross. Okay, we all had a BC life. Amen? Some of us more colorful than others. But everybody had a BC life, right? A before Christ, right? And then you get saved, and then you have a after you've been saved life you want to walk into, right? Now, the faith Paul is reminding Timothy of is not saving faith on this side. believing in Jesus to be saved. It is the faith that he has because he has been saved. It's on this side, okay? Are you guys following? Okay? So I'm not talking about doing things or fanning into flame things so that I can be saved. I'm saying let's fan into flame because I am saved. All right, so on this side, we need Jesus. And we, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, he convicts us. And we understand that we can do nothing on this side to get saved, right? We did have a contribution to salvation. Do you know that? Sinning. That's our contribution. Okay, so we sin. We need salvation. Jesus comes and he saves us. And now because we are saved, we are on this side of the cross, right? A life needs to be lived. Here we were outside of the kingdom, reborn, stepped into the kingdom. Amen. We do not believe only in the gospel of salvation that says that I'm saved by Jesus and then I can go on with my life. We believe in the gospel of the kingdom of God, which says I'm reborn into the kingdom. Now I am an ambassador, and a life of faith needs to be lived on this side of the cross. Are you guys with me? Okay? So in James it says faith without works is dead faith. Okay? So here, faith, if you want to work for salvation, it's not going to happen. Here you surrender completely. There's nothing you can do and you get saved. But now this saving faith does look like something on this side. And the scripture says if it doesn't look like something, it might be dead faith. Okay, so he's coming in with kind of that. Okay, so he reminds Timothy of his faith, the faith that because he is saved. Right now, this is the faith that, how can I say, this is the faith that moves us to believe more in God leading us than the enemy deceiving us. It's the faith that believes more in the redeeming work of Jesus than in the messes of our past. It is that faith that fuels us to move on this side of the cross. Now he says to him, listen, now because you have faith on this side, because you're filled with faith, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, fan into flame the gift of God which he has put inside of you. Now, do you know that God has placed something inside of you? You know that faith is only difficult when it's about you. Faith is easy when it's about Jesus. So on this side, like, it's all about Jesus. You get to the end of yourself, it's Jesus. And then on this side, it's easy that I can creep in again, right? Amen? It's not the I in you, it's Christ in you, right? When he is central, and this is what humility and faith does, it makes Jesus first and central, then faith is easy. Now, because Jesus is central, now he says to Timothy, put movement on what God has placed inside of you. Faith on this side of the cross, faith without works is dead. So put movement on what God has placed inside of you because he has placed something inside of you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you. And when Christ is in you, his gifts are with him. It is in you and it's there so that you may bear fruit, right? John 15, it says, bear fruit so that the Father may be glorified. Amen? So he says to him, listen, so put movement, because you have faith, put movement on what God has placed inside of you. Now, we're going to explore in a moment, like, how do I know what God has placed inside of me? How do I know this? How do I know what I've been called to do or what's my purpose? All of that. So I'm going to give you some guidance on how to find that this morning, okay? But God has placed something inside of you. And then he says to him, fan it into flame. And I love this next portion of scripture. I've quoted this in so many different situations, and I think it's applicable everywhere. But in the context of this text, he says, fan into flame what God has placed inside of you, because the spirit you received is not one of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, I've quoted this scripture to calm myself down, to get the anxiety out and get faith in. Doesn't matter what it is, but in the context of this portion, he says, we are called as the church to fan into flame what God has placed inside of us because we did not receive a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Do you know how you would fan if you filled with fear? Kijk, het net zo voorzichtig, right? But the spirit we received, fan with power, fan with faith, Fan with love. Fan with a sound mind. God has placed something inside of me. He has placed something of Jesus inside of me. We all know in part, the scriptures teaches us, and prophesy in part. What does this mean? It means that each one of us represents a small part of who Jesus is. And we need the collective to get the whole picture. Okay? But we can only see Christ in you when you bring yourself to the table. When you fan into flame that little piece that God has placed inside of you, if you fan that, it gets to show. Amen? And I don't fan this so that I can be seen. The glory of ministry is this, that you disappear so that He can be seen, right? That is the, I always tell our bands, like, hey, just remember, the point is that you disappear. The point is that I disappear and that Jesus is seen by the people, right? So we are called to fan into flame. This is because the spirit we received is of power, love, and a sound mind. And do you know, when your gift, the grace that God has placed inside of you, when you bring that to the table and serve a body and the body of Christ with that, the spirit that gift comes with is of power, love, and a sound mind. Your gift manifesting, right, drives out the fear due to love. Perfect love casts out fear. Sometimes we fight so hard against the fear rather than fighting for love, because the love will cast out the fear. Does that make sense? So we're always in a battle against something, and I'm suggesting let's fight for love, because the love will cast out the fear. I recently heard a beautiful, if you think about the chapter of love right in between the spiritual gifts, right? So you can take any spiritual gift, and you can put in the definition of love there. Prophecy. Prophecy is kind. It is long-suffering. It believes the best. And you can go on with every gift. And this is what happens when the manifestation of what God has placed inside of you comes to the table and into the light. Love manifests. His power manifests. And let me tell you, your gift brings clarity. It brings clarity. For some other reason, things make sense because you have brought yourself to the table. Okay, so Paul is saying to him, hey, in the context of stewarding, remember this, you received faith. Fan into flame what God has placed inside of you, because the spirit that you received is the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Okay, now I want to give you a secret. What God has placed inside of you, the enemy cannot stop, and he cannot quench it. Do you know that? The enemy cannot quench what God has placed inside of you, but there is somebody who can. Do you know who can? The person sitting in your seat. That person can stop it. The only person that can quench what God has placed inside of you is you. What is the easiest way to put out a fire? Just leave it. Burns out, nothing left, right? You just leave it. A fire needs to be fanned and fueled, right? So one way of quenching what God has placed inside of us is just to do nothing. And if you think about the parable of the talents, the guy that did nothing buried his talents. Why? Because he was afraid of the master. His dad view was wrong towards his master, so he buried it in fear, did nothing with it, and that didn't end well for him. Okay? So that is, knowing the Father is super important for every Christian, so we can know our dad, he loves us, he backs us, and he has given us something that is so precious, it's heavenly. To bring that to the body and to our communities and to your job to show it. But the thing is, we need to understand that we have received something, first of all, and we can quench it, secondly. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench, right, the Holy Spirit. God has placed something inside of you. I love 1 Corinthians 12:11. Let's read that together just to try and confirm what I've said. I've put the Amplified version just to be a little bit dramatic. All these things, the gifts, the achievements, the abilities, the empowering, are brought about by one and the same Holy Spirit, distributing to each one individually just as He chooses. Right? So you're on this side of the cross. You've been saved. The Holy Spirit is in you, and He gives you gifts to represent Jesus and to show off Jesus. Okay? Now I want to give you some guidance how to kind of discover what God has placed inside of you. All right, I'm going to give you 6 points. These are 6 things I do, have done, that has helped me to discover what I don't know if you think like fan into flame. What? Lord, just tell me what do I need to fan into flame? I don't know. Right? So I want to kind of give you 6 pointers, just in a very practical sense, which you can do to grow and to fan into flame what God has placed inside of you. All right? Are you guys okay? Everybody tracking? Okay? And I'm saying this to you because I really believe that the Lord is wanting to reveal himself, but he's wanting to reveal himself in the saints. Okay, so there's a shift in the church happening where we should stop thinking that Dominee must do everything and represent Jesus. The saints are called to do the work of ministry. Amen? The person sitting in your seat, you've been called for ministry, right? As a minister to represent Jesus, right out there. And you've got something unique in you that is needed. All right. Is that okay? Okay, so here's the 6 points. Very easy. Believe, serve, thanksgiving, community, persevere, keep your heart clean. This is just to get you started on your journey. All right. This is super, super simple, but if you don't believe you have received something, it's very difficult to get going. Okay? And it's just, you need to believe you are saved. You need to believe the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. You need to believe it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not you, not the I in you, it's Christ in you. He is great. He is great and he lives inside of you. Like, it is not your job to judge what the grace that you have received as a small thing. Like, if I had to apologize to the Lord about this, because let me tell you, the greatest thing that happens in the church is we compare ourselves with our fire to somebody else's fire, and then we do nothing with our fire, because ours doesn't look like theirs, and apparently theirs is right and mine is wrong. No, no, no. It is just different. But comparison will drag you into despair. So keep out of comparison and notice what you carry. Believe you carry something. And it might be different than somebody else's grace that they have received, but who cares? We need it all. Jesus distributed the gifts through the whole body so that the body may represent him. Okay. Okay, so you need to believe. The fight is a fight of faith. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, believing that you have received something. The second one, serve. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter 4:10 says the following. It says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As each, not some. I don't know, what is your translation? As the Dominee has received a gift, he should use it to do everything. Is that what your Bible say as well? As each, say each, as the person sitting in your seat has received a gift, use it to look good, serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. You have received grace. Okay? Now, what's my calling? What's my purpose in life? Like, we can get lost in that. Like, if I tell our congregation, if I give them guidance how to find their purpose, I tell them, stop looking for your purpose and pursue Jesus. Pursue the one that called you. And in that journey, your calling will find you. It's the same with holiness. Don't pursue holiness. Pursue the Holy One, and you will become holy. Does that make sense? That is the first things first principle, the kingdom principle. First seek the kingdom. Put him first. So don't first seek your purpose or your gift. Seek him. Seek the giver of the gift. Okay? And then you take what you have received and you serve. Now, let me tell you the greatest key to serving. Do not serve so that you can find out what your gift. Serve out of the motive of love. So take your talents and your gifts, put it aside, and then you serve because you love people. That is the test of trust. God, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, he loves his sheep, right? He doesn't love us to get something from us. He loves us. And in the same way, we are called to love first, and then all the others will come. But I serve because I love, okay? I don't take my gift in the church to look good. I'm not using my gift for that. I want to give my gift out of love and as a servant. And you know, the servants, serving, I love serving until you get treated like one. And then that's a good test for your heart, right? But I do realize in Scripture that the very first miracle Jesus did, who saw it? The servant saw it. In whose hands did the fish and the bread multiply? In the disciples' hands that served the people. You see, the servant is the one closest to the master. He sees. It's in his hands. The others are blessed, but the servants see it. They experience it, right? It is the powerful thing. Like Jesus saying, he didn't come to be served, but to serve. And his motive was love, right? You remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? And the farmer sows the wheat, and then the enemy comes and he sows tares. And the workers tell the farmer, hey, this has happened. What should we do? Should we pluck out the tares? And the farmer says to him, no, leave them that they will grow together. And at harvest time, we will see the difference, and then we will separate them. How do you know what's the difference between a wheat and a tare? The tare stands up dead straight because there's no seed in the head of the tare. The wheat is bowed down like this. Its head is full of seed. The posture in the kingdom of multiplication is that of a servant humbly bowed over because I'm full of the kingdom. And because I'm full of the kingdom and I love my master and I don't need to fight for my name, but his name is established, I do not need to stand up straight so that everybody can see me. I'm fine with a towel around my arm, lowly, serving in love. This is how the kingdom multiplies. Okay, so in the worldly sense, we think like if I need to be in top management to have influence. Okay, now some of us are going to be called to top management and use your influence there for the kingdom. But don't think because you bottom of the food chain in your company, you don't have influence. In the kingdom, the way up is down, right? For all the competitors, if you want to be first, geez, that suck. In a kingdom sense, okay? But this is like, if you go humbly, you multiply. You are sowing seeds in a powerful way, okay? Serving matters. Why does serving matter? Serving will help your character grow. Because listen to me, gifts are for free, but character is expensive. Amen? Character is expensive, and God is into building our character. Hallelujah. Okay. God builds our character. Why? So that we can carry the gift, carry the anointing with good character. It's way too much in church that we see gifted people, but not people with good character, right? And we want both. We don't want the one or the other. We want both. Good character. We want the fruit, and we want the gifts. Amen? Okay. So serve with the motive of love. Third one, thanksgiving. Listen, let's just say to one another, nobody likes somebody that moans all the time. So let's just say, put that out there. If God is the one that inhabits the praises of his people, there is somebody else that inhabits our moaning and our groaning. And it's not him. Hallelujah. I tell this all the time to my kids. Like, anyway. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in every circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Complaining will bring spiritual blindness to yourself to see what you carry. You would be blind to see what you carry because you're not thankful for what you've received, right? Again, children, I've given my kids like presents and then they're just not impressed with it. Have that ever happened to you? Like, yes, there's very few things in life that trigger me as takes me to 0 to 140 kilometers an hour in 2.5 seconds, like ungrateful. It's just, but when I give them a gift like, Dad, thank you so, it just, man, I love that. I absolutely love that. So listen, how big or how small the grace is that God has given you, it is not your job to judge it. It is your job to thank him for it. That is the That is the first step to it. Okay, fourth one. I'm almost done. Community. Community is super important, and community will always be your mirror to understand what you carry. Okay? The reason for that is, it is very difficult for the individual, for me, it's difficult for me to see what I carry, gifts-wise. And the reason for that is that your gift and the fruit on your tree isn't given for you to eat of. It's given for others to eat of. Take the grace on your life and do what with it? Serve others with it. Okay, so others taste and see the grace that God has placed inside of you, right? And then you get to places where people come to you and say, hey, wow, you know, I enjoy so much. You are so loving. You are so grateful. You're so thankful. Am I? And like, if that ever happened to you, somebody gives you a compliment. Like, ons Afrikaners was moeilik om het te ontvang anyway. Maar, nee, no, it was just the Lord. Like, no, it wasn't that good. It was good, but not that good. So don't say that it's just the Lord. It was all Jesus. If it's all Jesus, it'd be amazing, okay? It was good, but not amazing. Okay, so community becomes your mirror so that you can realize what you carry. You need to be connected in loving relationships where people can actually eat of the fruit and the grace of your life so that they can give you feedback so that you can learn what it is that you carry. Does that make sense? Okay, so stay humble and stay connected to people. In Hebrews 11, which is the faith, heroes of the faith chapter, the previous chapter at the end, in chapter 10, verse 25, it speaks about, that portion speaks about the confidence of faith. And keeping the confidence of faith, the writer says, do not forsake the meeting of the saints. The meeting of the saints is super important to be connected so that the confidence of faith may remain. Because some days you're going to be strong, and other days you're going to be weak. And then you need the strength of the community to pull you back up again. Okay, so stay connected. You don't know what you know. You don't know what you don't know. In community, you get to know what you carry. Loving relationships. It's in community that a gift can grow as well. Okay, there is this thing in church that we think like, if I bring my gift to the table, it needs to be perfect. I can never make a mistake. But if I ask you, your family life, is that perfect? We don't teach our kids this. We don't teach our kids, if they start to ride a bike, like no training wheels, you gaat je zien, krijg het recht. You get een kans. You've got one chance. If you don't get it right, you blew it, I throw away your bike. Do we do that as parents? Okay. Now, if we, who are wicked parents, know how to give good gifts to our kids, how much more? We take this mindset and we bring it to God and we say, God, I need to be perfect, otherwise I'm going to be get a hiding or something. No. God doesn't do that. God is more loving than we could ever be. And He helps us. Listen, if you start fanning into flame the gift of God inside of you, it's not going to be perfect, okay? It's not going to be perfect, but you're going to grow. And we've been called to grow, not He's perfect. But because of the fear of imperfection and making a mistake, a lot of Christians take what they've been given, they bury it, and then they hope for the best. And it's 1, 2, 3, and other nice stuff in the world catches our attention, and we get caught up in it. And our flame inside of us dies because we don't feed it and we don't flame it. Does that make sense to you guys? Does that help? Okay. So bring what you have inside of you to the table. All right. Fifth one. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like this. Learn to persevere. You know, do you have some scriptures? You love the scriptures, but you don't like them? Like, this is James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Like, I don't know if you know, but you have joy, and then you have pure joy. Okay? And pure joy when you face various trials. Because perseverance and faith needs perseverance for it to grow. Okay, now, you have received grace. Now, if you force growth on the grace and the gift of your life, if you force growth, whatever growth there is, you're going to have to sustain it because you forced the growth. Then you need to sustain the growth. But if you can rest and allow the Lord to take you through the process where you need to persevere, He will grow it, and then His grace will sustain it. Does that make sense? Like, I'm up for option number two. I've tried one. I can personally testify. It did not work out well. Okay. So allow the Lord. There's going to be seasons where you need to persevere. And perseverance is those moments. Perseverance was this week for me when my friends got hurt and I was mad. Like, man, I had to fight the good fight of faith to keep my faith in Christ and not get angry or anchored in the anger of what's going on around me. All right. At the end of the day, we live in an instant society, but at the end of the day, a tree doesn't grow overnight. It matures. So you need to have grace with yourself in the process of growing. Okay. The last one, and this is probably the most important one, is to keep your heart clean on the journey. I was reminded of in Luke 22:32, where Jesus tells Peter, I've prayed for you. Satan asked for you to sift you, but I've prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you've gone through the test, encourage your brothers. Now, if you go and look, the test that he wrote wasn't that directly faith test. It was indirectly faith test, but it was directly heart stuff. With the heart, man believes unto God. Right? You don't believe with your mind, okay? Your mind and your intellect is super important, but faith does not reside here, okay? So many, I hear many Christians say, but I know it here, but I don't know it here. And then your heart and your spirit has a greater capacity than your mind. So it first resides here, and then we get understanding here. If I say faith resides here, I will limit God to what I understand, right? And He's a little bit bigger than that. All right. So He gives peace that surpasses understanding. So this has a greater capacity than this to understand spiritual things. Okay, so we can catch more with our hearts than with our minds. So be open here to the Lord. Faith resides here, and protect this. Protect the heart from this flows all the issues of life. Listen, when you live in a community, right? There's going to be opportunities to get offended. Hallelujah. There's going to be opportunity to forgive, right? And I give my wife lots of opportunities to forgive me and to grow. But we choose it. In relationships, we choose one another each day. My wife chooses me sometimes 5 times a day. But we have this idea, again, when it comes to church, that everything's going to be perfect. And it's amazing to me when I look at faith communities, how people can be so convinced that God plants them in a community and how offense moves them. Protect. Stand your ground. Protect this. Somebody once said that my thoughts and what's going on in here is as loud in heaven than my voice on earth. We don't hide anything from the Lord. He knows what's going on here. So keep this clean, right? So as you discover, as you do these things, these 6 points, as you believe you have received, as you serve people, not to get something because you love, but just because you love them, as you become thankful for what you have received, right? As you get connected in community and serve one another with what is inside of you, as you persevere and keep your heart clean, what God has placed inside of you will become evident to you, but it's going to take time. The biggest mistake you can make is to do nothing and wanting to move when you understand what you carry. No. You have been saved by grace. You've been filled with the Spirit. Grace has been given. You have already received grace. So you can know that. Love has been poured out in your heart. So do something with it. Fan it into flame. Bring it to the house of the Lord. Amen? Okay? So fan it into flame. For God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Imagine the church moving in power, love, and in a sound mind. What keeps us in the shadows? I'm telling you, fear keeps us there. Fear, the fear, are you going to receive me? The fear of being known, being fully known, fully seen, fully loved. These things keep us, right? And God is wanting to set His church loose so that we can actually be the light in the world. Can we stand together? Father, we just thank You for this morning. Thank You that You are with us. Thank You that You love us. Lord, we want to acknowledge this morning that Jesus, that you died, you rose again. You are our Savior, our Lord, our King. We want to acknowledge the fact that you saved us and you moved us from the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord. That we are saved, that we are in your kingdom, that your Spirit is inside of us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us, Lord. That grace has been poured out into our hearts. Father, we want to ask this morning for your ability, your help, your grace to fan into flame what you have placed inside of us. Father, if we have judged what we carry as a small thing because we compared it to other people, we want to apologize for that. Will you show us once again your great love and your grace that you have placed inside of us? We want to fan it into flame. We want to take it. We want to serve others with it so that you may be seen. You say in the scriptures that it is, you want us to bear fruit because it glorifies you. You want your Spirit to manifest in us and through us to the glory of Jesus, that this world may know. That as you said, if you do not want to believe my words, believe the works that I do. Lord, with all humility, we want to acknowledge that these works are your works that you do inside of us. We want to acknowledge that we did not receive a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So Lord, empower us this morning to fan into flame the grace that we have received. Fill us with your love, Lord, to fan into flame the grace that we have received. God, will you give us, thank you for giving us the mind of Christ. Will you settle our minds so that we may fan into flame the gift that we have received? Thank you for the measure of faith that we have received. Father, and we thank you that you are not afraid of small things. You are looking for a mustard seed. If we can just bring it to your feet. So Lord, we want to offer our lives and ask, awaken once again in us what you have placed inside of us, that Franschhoek may see who you are. Lord, I pray, will you break off any rejection off of us, that we are being afraid of bringing our gifts, being afraid of being rejected. Fill our hearts again with such love, Lord, for one another, that we may just serve one another in love. Lord, purify our motives. Purify our motives, Lord. Remind us once again of when we got saved the first day. We didn't deserve that. And now we give our lives. And we just want to be in your house, be close, and serve. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. I'm just going to call out a few things. And if this pertains to you, then we would love to pray with you at the end of the service. And then we're going to land it. I'm told there's some holy coffee in the foyer, so you can stay for some fellowship and some coffee. But I really want to pray with people. If you are here and you feel like fear has brought you to a standstill in your growth with the Lord, we would love to pray with you. If there's some of you that needs to fall out of comparison with other people, so that you can just once again acknowledge what you carry and become thankful for that, we would love to pray with you. I want to pray with anybody that felt like you have judged the grace on your life as a small thing, and you just want to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm just so, so sorry. I feel like the Lord is wanting to just give some of us a sound mind once again. Just remove some clutter and confusion when it comes to the future and what you carry. I feel like there might be some of us that feel like you are on an ocean and you're in your boat and there's a lot of other boats and you see some of the guys, they have their sail up and man, they're just riding with the wind and you just feel stuck. You're just drifting around there. Don't know what to do. You just feel stuck, but you see everybody is moving. If you feel stuck, we want to pray with you this morning because I just feel like God is here to give grace for movement, for us to put movement on what we have have received and go on this adventure of discovery with him. Father, we thank you for your love, your kindness towards us. So Holy Spirit, I just pray right now, will you convict us if there's anything you want us to deal with this morning as we end this service and pray together. Lord, I want to bless this house and bless everybody here. I want to send you in the name of Jesus as you make your way home. I want to bless your week as well. And may the Lord fill you with faith. May the Lord fill you with a gift of prophecy that in this week, as we move to, closer to the election, you will see what he sees, and you will declare that over our country. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen.